Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Morbid early and ad-free. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
You're listening to a Morbid Network podcast.
Hey guys, I have to tell you about this all-in-one shake that I'm freaking loving. It's called Cachava. I love saying it. It's actually hands down the best thing that I've found to help me get all my essential nutrients into one day. Cachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics. In other words, literally everything that your body craves to feel your best. And I know what you're thinking. Something that good for me cannot possibly taste good. Wrong. That's where Cachava really earns their over 52,000 five-star reviews. It actually tastes freaking amazing. It's very creamy and smooth, and it comes together with just water. And it comes in five delicious flavors. Personally, vanilla and chai are my personal favorites, but it also comes in chocolate, matcha, and coconut acai, which I still need to try. Some people like to drink it as part of a healthy breakfast or lunch, and other people love it as a protein-packed snack before or after a workout. It's really perfect for that because it has 25 grams of plant protein per serving. Personally, I like to add mine to my overnight oats. I add a scoop and I mix it all up to get a little more protein into my oats. And literally, I can have that for breakfast and feel satiated, nourished, beautiful, functioning, all throughout my day. It's incredible. Please send me more of it because I love it so much. It makes me feel very, very good. And guess what, guys? Cachava is offering our listeners 10% off for a limited time. Just go to cachava.com/morbid, spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com/morbid. When it comes to travel, we all have that one happy place, whether it's the beach, ski slopes, a little couple's getaway, or even to visit that best friend that you haven't seen in way too long. And Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price, so you never have to miss a trip. I even did their jingle, did you hear that? Personally, my happy place is the beach, sitting next to Drew, pina colada in one hand, book in the other. And now, thanks to Priceline's VIP family feature, you can go to your happy place more often while earning deals up to 5 times faster with a group. When one person from the squad travels, everybody gets more deals. And you even get to choose your crew. It doesn't have to be your actual family. Ugh, just kidding. I love you, family. But it could be your neighbor, your roommate, your mailman, anyone. The more you travel, the more you save. Maybe I'll invite my mailman. Just kidding. I don't know him. So I'll bring Elena, Mikey, and Dave, and of course, my Who's Band. So download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy price with Priceline. Hey, weirdos, I'm Ash.
And I'm Elena.
And this, right here, in front of your face, in your ear holes, is Morbid.
You're wrong.
No, I'm not.
This I'm is always right.
I'm always right.
Yay.
Hey, everybody. Hey. It's Morbid in the afternoon.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, we had a morning dealing with, like, some dicky people.
Dealing with some fuck shit per year.
Dealing with some fuck shit. Not any of you. Don't worry about it.
No, of course not.
It was
never that. Oh, sorry. I did just rip my sweatshirt string. in my anger.
In my anger.
Rachel.
But yeah, we were just dealing with some fuck shit. So it's going to be Morbid in the afternoon today because we meant to do this earlier. But then we got pissed off and we were like, I don't want to do an episode pissed off.
Because my friends don't want to hear me when I'm pissed off. They want to hear me when I'm happy. Yeah. And guess what? We're happy because Elena found a new song on TikTok by the raddest girlie that's ever graced this planet.
Guys.
Her style is unmatched.
It's unmatched.
Her voice is a heathen. A heathen. But like in the best way.
Yeah.
She is
Chinchilla Music. And
of
I think
course.
It's Chinchilla_Music. You might, if you are awesome, you might have already seen this sound come across your For You page on TikTok.
And you are awesome, so you probably have.
So I feel like you've heard it, but if you haven't, go search it out. I'm not kidding you. This song, I think the full song doesn't come out until like April 21st, I think it is.
Yeah.
But she has been like promoting it with this snippet of it. Oh my God. It will, every time she posts it, people are like, why am I feral right now? Like, it makes you just want to go like, fuck shit up.
Like, catch us on April 21st, like, roaming around town, God, just screaming out the motherfucking sunroof. Do you know that about
me? It's so good.
That I love to like sing out the sunroof. It's my favorite thing ever, but Drew gets so mad at me. Usually it's because after a couple of drinks when we're on our way home from somewhere and he's like, get your head in the sunroof, you idiot.
He's like, that's dangerous.
He would never say that to me, but like, you know. But I want to sing this song out the sunroof.
Hell yeah. We are going to blast that song in this studio.
Every day.
We're gonna fuck shit up.
You are covered in rainbows right now. In fact, may I take your photo?
Of course you can.
May I take your hat, sir? You wouldn't get that because you don't watch SpongeBob.
Hold on, I have to smile for a photo.
Excuse me, if you could please hold. You look so magical.
So we got,
oh my God,
oh my God, I'm so rainbow.
Check you out.
Oh, and Billy's in the photo, Billy Loomis.
Of course. I'll post it.
So Mikey got these new like window clings for our skylights because our skylights are always just like a menace.
They're
always bathing us in a very harsh light and we're always like, ow, ow, ow. So they're Mikey insane. Was like, let me fix that. And he got these clings that make rainbows all over the room when the sun hits it. And it is so wondrous and magical and whimsical, and it makes me so happy.
It's iconic.
And now even when the light is coming in harshly, it doesn't feel harsh because it's like, well, it's a rainbow. Because
it's a rainbow.
So,
I mean, some people would be mad at that, but not me.
But not the kind of people we want to hang out with. No. So it doesn't matter.
I'm about to go buy all the Bud Lights with the rainbows on like them. I fucking love there. Dylan Mulvaney.
Hell yeah.
I don't even like beer, and I would literally go buy all of them.
Exactly.
The end.
So there's that.
Rainbows. Chinchilla chin.
Chinchilla chin.
What was it?
Chinchilla music.
Chinchilla music.
Those are our recommendations for the day are rainbows and chinchilla music.
And Bud Light.
And Bud Light.
And Bud regular too.
I was going to say it doesn't have to be light, I don't think.
It's like the blue cans though. Are those the light ones?
I don't know.
Nor do I.
Whatever, they support it. Buy the rainbow ones. Just buy the rainbow ones. Why the fuck not?
What are you going to talk about today, bish?
So we've hit some gnarly ones, some gnarly cases lately, and we've also got some lined up that are going to blow your socks off. So
our anniversary is coming up.
Our five-year anniversary, and we got something planned.
We have a couple things planned.
And it's something a lot of people have asked for 5 full years, and Mama has been holding on to it, waiting for the right time, and this is the right time. But we've got some, even before that, we have some really gnarly, intense, pretty bleak cases, but ones that for sure need to be told.
Of course.
But we figured we would kind of do a quick little mind reset here.
Yeah.
This is still pretty gnarly, but like in a different way.
Yeah.
We wanted to do an episode about random curses.
Yay.
So.
Do you ever just wake up and say, I want to hear about random curses?
You know, who doesn't? And, you know, the first one I will do has murder in it. It has ghost stories in it. It has a curse in it. It has apples in it.
It's called multifaceted. Look it up.
But it's got it's got several true crime elements to it, actually. And then the second one I'm going to do, because this is just going to be two random, you know, stories that have to do with curses, is the curse of the movie The Omen, which... you might have heard that there's a curse with The Omen, but when you really dig into it, that shit is wild.
Gnarly.
Yeah, super gnarly. So the first one we're going to do is the curse of Micah Rood.
Micah or Mike?
It's Micah.
Micah.
But yeah, but it got turned into Mike later down the road.
Oh, okay.
Because that's what we do, you know.
That's weird.
We just make everything shorter.
I like the name Micah.
I do too. So Micah Rood, also referred to as Mike sometimes in several literatures.
Everybody has a nickname.
You know, he was a farmer in what is now Franklin, Connecticut in the 1720s.
That's my cat's name.
So New England
place,
you know what I'm saying? While he was alive, this place, his farm was known as 9 Mile Square or Norwich West Farms. Micah was the youngest of at least 9 children.
Too many.
So he came from a little bit of chaos. He himself was known for at least a time to be a very nice man, but he developed some issues later that may be explained when you take a look at his family.
Okay.
So Micah's father, His name was Thomas Rude. I'd like to give a quick little trigger warning. We are going to mention incest.
Oh, horrible.
He, Thomas Rude, so Micah's father, was charged and convicted for incest.
Oh.
He allegedly impregnated his own daughter, Sarah, and she told the town officials herself. They'd become a little sus when they saw that Sarah, being unwed in the 1720s, had a new baby. And so she was asked about it, and she confessed and admitted that the baby was biologically her father's child, and I guess technically his grandchild as well.
Oh my God, that poor, poor girl.
And this wasn't even in the 1700s. This was 1600s, late 1600s when happened. In 1672, they arrested Thomas Rude and actually hanged him.
Good.
And hanged him for the crime of incest. And interestingly, he is the only person in America to ever be executed for the crime of incest.
Not the title you want to go down with.
No. Like, damn.
Wow. That's heavy.
Yeah. It was wild. And according to Stephen Gencarella, who wrote Spooky Trails and Tall Tales, Connecticut.
Oh, I like that.
He said, quote, "It was the only official execution for incest in what would become the United States. Sarah was spared death, but publicly whipped." And so they agreed that she had been raped. Like, she did not participate in incest, as most people do not. But this is what the original texts say about her sentencing, because I was like, excuse me?
Yeah, what?
It says, "The sentence of the court is that she be severely whipped on the naked body once at Hartford and once at Norwich, that others may hear and fear and do no more such abominable wickedness."
So they said, don't get raped.
Don't get raped.
Wow.
By a family member.
Wow.
Especially. Yeah. And got whipped on the naked body publicly twice. For being raped.
That's like a whole other sexual assault that she suffered.
The trauma sandwich there, I can't even handle. Like, that is, my brain won't even compute it.
Like, publicly in front of people? Yeah. Oh my God.
So it's like, now that you've been raped and are having to deal with that, let's strip you naked in front of people and whip you.
Ah.
Yeah. Guys, it's hard to start working out, and it's even harder to maintain working out, especially if you don't like your fitness routine, which a lot of times it can be dull, just for me personally, that's all I'm saying. But Peloton really keeps me motivated, mainly because I love the instructors and I feel like I'm losing my friends when I'm not on that bike. But also, Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. Wherever you're starting, there's thousands of classes to get you moving. Whether that's beginner or advanced rides, feel-good live DJ rides, or artist theme rides, they've got something for you. And like I said, the Peloton bike instructors not only are wonderful and feel like your friends, but they help keep you motivated from day one. They'll show you the basics, you know, take the guesswork out of your workout and encourage you to build. So you're like, I want to make you proud of me. And Peloton Entertainment keeps you moving. Watch your favorite TV shows and live sports as you ride. Perfect for those days when you just don't want to miss a thing. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Did you know Fast-Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast-Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. I love Fast-Growing Trees because Drew and I love gardening and stuff like that, but we always forget to run our little errands on the weekend where we go to the nurseries and say, I'd like that tree over there, please. But instead, I can just sit my booty on the couch, type in fastgrowingtrees.com, and get whatever plant I want. I just recently ordered a lemon tree because, mama, when life gives you lemons, you can make lemonade and lots of delicious lemon-flavored desserts, which I'm excited about. And it's going to get to my door in 1 to 2 days, and then I'll have so many lemons. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code MORBID at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code MORBID at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code MORBID. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
So, Micah,
how did he
fare? He got far away from that situation. He didn't want anything to do with that, that legacy. And so he decided to start over as a farmer in Franklin alone.
He was like,
I'm going to...
Bye.
Bye. So he set up his farm in 1699, and he was respected. He was moderately good at farming. I wouldn't moderately say he was, like, good. Stellar.
I wouldn't say
he was going to win any... blue ribbons.
No.
You know, but like he wasn't as good as I am at keeping a houseplant alive.
It's been a couple weeks.
Which I will say I have done for a couple of weeks. And so I feel as though I can speak on this subject as a farmer myself.
No. I planted this weekend and within 48 hours killed two hydrangea plants.
You know, I'm one to slaughter houseplants, but like, but I'm doing really good, and mostly because John said he doesn't think I can keep one alive, so I'm like, now I'm a challenge accepted.
I'm gonna prove it to you, motherfucker.
And I'm doing good. Her name is Lisa Vanderpump, and she's thriving. Yeah. I also have one named Rupert Giles. He is also thriving, so fingers crossed, everybody.
Then what's the other one?
The other one I haven't named yet because... He came to me a little worse for wear, so I'm going to...
He, though, okay.
It feels like a he.
Billy Loomis. Name it Billy Loomis.
There you go, Billy Loomis.
He's worse for wear.
He came to us a little worse for wear.
You know?
Yeah. But back to Micah. He was moderately good, like I said. He was all right.
Me too.
And he was said to be someone who helped people. He was social. He gave people food and stuff from his farm. A good dude. Someone you want to have around.
Hmm.
That's the story you hear. But then the other story.
Oh, there's two.
Is a bunch of people who say he was weird, strange, and mean. So either history has failed us here with a shitty game of telephone, or he just pissed off some people and they're loudly telling everybody about it.
I was going to say, maybe.
Which, yeah. I feel like that might be it.
Maybe it just depends who you ask. Like, you can't please everyone.
No, you can't. I mean, if you asked, like, about me, you'd get a lot of different viewpoints. So.
I would say she's grand.
She's grand. But, like, I'm sure Micah is, like, dealing with the same fate. I mean, at one point, Micah, you know, he does something that, like, you really can't argue with, saying he's kind of a shitty person. But, like, we'll get there.
Okay.
So one thing that was not disputed by anyone was the fact that he may not have been the best all-around farmer or all-around human, but he had the greatest and most beautiful and thriving apple orchard in the galaxy.
The galaxy?
The galaxy.
This one?
Yep. And the next.
And the next? Oh, we don't know about that.
No, we know. No. We know there is not more thriving apples on another galaxy. Like, it's just not possible.
I'm not putting my money on that.
His apples were juicy. They were beautiful. They were fucking huge. They were all in a neat line, all the trees, and they had white blossoms. And every fall, they would all pop out, and he would sell them all.
They would pop off.
Yeah, they would just pop off, and everybody would just, like, lug them away because they were so giant and amazing.
I love it.
And one night in December, on his farm, so everything's going great for Micah. He's just selling these apples. He's like, I may not be great at this other farming, but you better believe I can give you an apple. So one night in December, a salesman came through the area. And he was like those kind of salesmen, like the one in Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I can always bring it back there.
Always.
When that salesman comes through the linen closet portal and sells Sabrina a tomorrow ball against her aunt's wishes. That one. It's just like that.
Totally.
He had everything. And he was
even tomorrow balls?
He had tomorrow balls. And he was a regular in that area. So he had sold a ton that week. And he had a lot of cash on him. So in those days, this was risky business.
Yeah.
If you just listened to our episode with Red Handed about Lavinia Fisher, you know that being a highwayman or a highwaywoman was like an actual thing back then. And any salesperson or merchant that was walking around with tons of cash was just like a giant bullseye on their head.
I mean,
it's risky business. So the risk of being robbed or worse was really high. But he was known there, so he felt safe. He had been there before. He somehow that night ended up like in or near Rude's farm. And no one is really sure how, but he ended up going inside the house.
Okay.
He must have been invited. Something happened.
He liked apples. He wanted to get some.
But then he went missing.
Yeah.
No one knew where he went. He never returned home. Search parties went out. And then there was a tip that came in saying that somebody had seen him in the Rude farm area. They searched the property. The salesman was found. They found him.
I can tell by the look in your eye that man was.
He was buried under an apple tree with his head shattered open and all of his money gone.
Okay, that's not quite what I was expecting, but damn.
Yeah. Of course, it's a very 1700s investigation followed.
So everybody was invited to the crime scene by hand.
Yeah, and everything was totally fine, very up to standards.
Oh, man.
Micah was definitely the prime suspect since it was his farm and he was the only one there.
That makes sense.
But he denied, and they couldn't really gather any more physical evidence other than the body being found under a tree on his property. So they had to let it go for the time being.
Oh, my God.
So even though this guy was found buried under an apple tree with his head smashed open.
Yeah, and all his money gone.
There was really nothing that could tie it directly to Micah.
The apples.
That's that.
It was like, the apples. Really nothing.
So he was just kind of let go. And spring came. His trees thrived again.
Wow.
But one tree came back completely different this time around. It was the tree the body of the salesman was found under. And it came back with bright red blossoms. And remember, I said he would get these bright white blossoms.
Yeah. Everywhere.
As if that wasn't strange enough, once harvest time came at the end of the summer, huge yellow apples grew. And when they were cut open, they contained a red circle in the center that looked like a stain of blood.
Do not all eat of those them. Apples.
All the apples on that one tree had this and no others in the orchard did.
That's strange.
Like a totally different kind of apples. And after this, so he found this and he knew. So after this, he started to lose it. He
was like the suddenly, telltale heart.
It is. It's very much like that. So everybody said his demeanor completely switched out of nowhere. He was depressed. He withdrew from everyone. He never came into town. And people near his farm said he would just scream late into the night alone and pace around and around all evening.
I want to start doing that, like, just to see what people
do. See if people are like, she just screams at like, night alone.
Maybe that would be a cool legacy.
Yeah, I think it would. But he wouldn't eat or tend to his farm, and everything just completely died. He let everything go.
But that one tree?
Everything except that red apple tree.
Oh, my God.
Every season it came back, even though he didn't tend to it.
Bitch.
There is a story in Legends, Lore, and Secrets of New England by Thomas DiAgostino and Arlene Nicholson. And it says he told a few townspeople that he was being haunted by a ghost. And he said that it attacked him any time he tried to work on his farm.
Oh.
So people think it was the ghost of the salesman back for revenge. And it also says there's a story of one season, a young boy stealing apples from that red tree. And when Micah caught him, he told him to take the entire tree of apples because he was so frightened of it. And he wanted them gone. He was like, just take them all.
Wow.
And the boy was like, no, I was just like, I'm sorry, I stole one. He was like, no, I want you to take all of them. I don't want them.
Did you know
and
terrified that boy
just
probably
ran
was?
Away.
I'm not going to.
Yeah, it's insane. So he continued to deteriorate. And at the end of his life, the townspeople believed he had either been falsely accused of murdering the salesman, which that is a possibility.
Yeah.
And that the body had been placed under the tree by someone, you know, the killer to frame him, or that he had done it and lived a life of guilt. Being haunted.
What do you think?
I don't know, because it sounds like Micah like wasn't a bad guy, you know? So it is a little strange that he would suddenly lash out.
Right.
You know, but I don't know. That tree was definitely the symbol of whatever had happened here. And the people of the town did come together when he became too frail to take care of himself in his old age. And they paid 2 shillings to volunteers to watch over him for 2 days at a time. So to me, it feels like the community kind of believed he didn't do it and that he was falsely accused. I don't think they would be going through this trouble if they thought he just killed a salesman in cold blood.
Yeah, they're not going to
buried him under an apple tree.
Anywhere near him.
Yeah. So to me, I'm like, that's some good community right there.
Yeah.
Especially since there is a possibility he was a brutal murderer.
Totally.
Like, but I would love to believe he isn't.
So, I kind of believe he's not.
And he ended up dying in December of 1728, looking over that red apple tree. He was sitting in his chair looking out over it.
That's so sad.
What's crazier is that tree stood and thrived until 1938.
What?
And it was blown over by a hurricane. That's how it
Damn
was
it.
Finally gone. But before, it was still up, 1930s.
And people were still eating the apples?
Yeah. And people took pieces of the branches and tried to replicate the apples, but they never could. And there are some legends that say there are traces of red in some of these strains, though, and especially in the Franklin, Connecticut area.
That's so interesting.
And they would call them like Mike's apples or Micah's apples.
I want to go apple picking next year.
Ugh.
In this area.
And find one of those apples.
Until I find we one got of those apples.
And there is a movie on Prime right now. I don't know if you can still get it on Prime, but I saw that it was on there. Called The Curse of Micah Rood. And it's from 2014 and it's about this whole story.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So there is a curse in the apples. If you find the apple, I don't know exactly what happens to you that you can't say. I think it was more Micah's curse than anybody else's.
Mm.
But I don't know. I want to believe. I both want to believe that he was falsely accused and I don't want to because I feel bad.
Agreed.
You know, like it's like that would suck if his whole life was him being, like, not a murderer, but well, being so treated like one.
I feel like the thing would be, did he come into, like, a lot of new things after that salesman was killed? Like, did he spend the money?
That's the thing. It's like, was that the reason?
Right.
Or did he just kill this guy?
But all his money was gone. So I know. I'm like, that seems to be the motive.
Yeah, I don't know. It's very strange.
It is.
It makes a lot more sense to me, to be honest, that, like, some highwayman or highwaymen found this guy
robbed him,
killed him, and then buried him under the tree thinking no one would find him.
Yeah, that makes more sense to me, you know? Too, than Micah just like randomly snapping and killing this one man who is well known in town, too.
That's the other thing. And it's like, if I know Micah,
right,
I don't think he did this.
That's exactly how I feel. Like,
despite him coming from a father that was like, whoa, he was executed as the first person for getting executed for incest.
Yeah, I mean,
charges.
Some people's parents are fucking terrible, and they're
the thing.
You know,
like, it's like, you know, and they're great.
You know what I mean?
So, I mean, I don't know. That's the curse of Micah Rood and the apples. I thought it was an interesting one. It's a nice New Englandy one, which is always fun. But the next one I'm going to talk about because I want to watch this movie. Essentially, is The Omen.
You know, I've never seen it.
You should. It's a great movie. It's a really, really great horror film.
What year did it come out?
In 1976.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah. So
there was like a remake that came out.
Yeah, there was remakes for sure.
Yeah, one of the remakes came out when I was little, and I remember being fucking terrified of the preview and like crying about it.
I saw that remake, I think, with my ex-boyfriend in the theater.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Was it good?
It was good. But the original one can beat the, the movie was,
Religious, like, scary movies to me are, like, the scariest, and you always say that, too.
Yeah, I feel like that whenever you bring religion into a horror movie, it just brings an element of, like, uncomfortability to it, no matter what. And uncomfortability in, like, the best way for me. Like, love it because it scares me on a whole different level.
It's so funny because I agree with the latter part of that. It scares me on a whole different level, but to a level that I don't want to be scared on.
Oh, yeah. You see, you don't like it. I love it.
And it's weird I'm not, like, I mean, we all know, like, neither of us are very religious at all.
I was going to say very.
But it still scares me.
Yeah, it scares me because, like, it usually when they use it in a horror movie, it's used in a really
fucked up way.
It's just everything that they'll do, like the scene in Hellraiser when he's in the church.
I love that scene.
And he like does the like the fake stigmata kind of thing.
Yeah.
I love that scene because it is so uncomfortable.
Mm.
It's like such a wildly, I don't know what it is about it.
I don't know. I think maybe it's because I feel the same as like paranormal movies. Like it's just like it's unknown to me.
It is. And it's very, I don't want to fuck with it. And it's very like there's a lot to it.
Layered. That's the thing. Yeah.
Because, like, I don't care what you practice religious-wise. Like, I don't give a shit as long as you're not hurting anybody.
You literally about to say the same thing.
That's how I feel. Like, so that this isn't to be, like, you know, a knock on religion.
Not at all.
I literally don't give a shit. But because I'm not religious, I think it does make me uncomfortable in, like, a scary way when I watch it.
I don't know what it is. It freaks me the fuck out.
Also, did anyone see Ghost release an EP?
Of course I did, because I essentially live with you.
And it was so good.
The whole story that you were telling me, like behind the video that they released.
Yeah, it was like
cool.
Yeah, they did. Go watch the video because it's wild.
Ghost fans.
But Ghost fans, go watch the video, like everyone else don't. But I'm just kidding. But they did a cover of Genesis, like Phil Collins of Genesis, Jesus He Knows Me. It's a great cover. And I think they have like a whole EP of covers coming out in May, I want to say.
Covers.
But it goes with the video, and they released it on Easter, and it was just like a really good cover. And the video is like really wild.
I love that.
So it was a nice little Easter treat, and it kind of goes along with all this like religious talk. So there we are. So The Omen. Let's talk about it. Because it definitely has some like, you know, Satan and all that and the Antichrist things in it. It was, like I said, came out in 1976. It's directed by Richard Donner, and it was written by David Seltzer. The Omen is pretty fucked and is a classically terrifying and disturbing horror flick. It's one of those masterpieces of horror.
Ooh.
Just the way it is done, in my opinion, I'll say. But it starts out with a guy named Robert Thorne, who's played by Gregory Peck, and his wife, Catherine Thorne, played by Lee Remick. They're in Rome and about to give birth to a little boy when things go horribly wrong and the baby is actually born deceased.
Oh.
So obviously Robert is distraught and he has to be the one to tell his wife this. Oh, she doesn't know. But before he can do that, the hospital chaplain comes in and is like, hey, a baby has just been born a few doors down and the mother died during childbirth. He's like,
I'll take it.
You should just take this baby and just tell your wife it's yours. Easy peasy. Like, nothing can go wrong with this.
I think this will be fine. That's why this all went wrong. That's fucked. Truly. That's called kidnapping, and it's a crime.
And I love it, because Robert's like, that sounds great. What luck. Like, he's just like, all right, let's go.
Men.
And he does, and they name this boy Damien and Jesus. They don't name him Jesus. I mean, like,
Damien,
and I say,
and
like,
also Jesus.
I'm saying, like, whoa, Jesus. And I say Jesus with, like, a G-E-E-Z-U-S. Just in case you're wondering.
It was almost the perfect crime. Stacks of cold, hard cash sitting on the table, unguarded. Who wouldn't be tempted to slowly reach their hand out and steal? A pile of Monopoly money from the banker. Monopoly is one of those games that can bring out our most devious selves, and Monopoly Go takes that gleeful mischievousness to your phone in a wildly popular twist on the classic that you can play anywhere, anytime. Collect rent from friends on iconic properties, bankrupt them by pulling a heist on their vault, even use a wrecking ball to shut down their monuments. And Monopoly Go has timed tournaments where you can team up with friends to unlock big prizes and try to top the leaderboards. Whether you're helping out your friends or going head-to-head for riches, Monopoly Go is an absolute blast. Go download it now free on the App Store or Google Play. In those moments when money isn't moving as fast as your dreams are, Earnin provides the financial momentum that you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is the app that's helping millions of Americans to feel self-sufficient without falling into debt traps. Earnin empowers you to live life to the fullest by providing up to $100 a day of your pay within minutes of earning it. No mandatory fees and no credit check. All you get to do is watch your earnings tick up as you work and access up to $750 per pay period. It's easy and it's free to get started. Add your bank and employment info and they will verify your paycheck. Earnin is designed to support you in the short term and the long term. Money at the speed of you. Get up to $100 a day of your pay within minutes of earning it. No mandatory fees, no credit check. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Morbid under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. Morbid under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
But as this Damien kid grows up, shit goes awry.
Yeah.
Lots of bad stuff happens to this family. People die horrifically. Their nanny literally hangs herself during his fifth birthday.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Damien, we find out, is the actual Antichrist. oops.
Like, for some reason, the term Antichrist to me is hilarious.
Well, I think of it in Donnie Darko when he's like, I think you're the fucking Antichrist.
Same. So I have two thoughts. We're going down a path here. I think of Donnie Darko, that whole scene, which makes me lol.
Yeah.
And then I also think of the anti-fairies from Fairly Odd Parents, which you won't understand, but other people will.
Yeah.
And then, like, now that you think of that, you're like, oh, wow, like, they were definitely inspired by the Antichrist, and that's hilarious. Like, oh, shit.
And it's just, like, a wild term.
The Antichrist.
The Antichrist. Like, okay. And it's like that Damien is the Antichrist. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Like, I don't understand.
Or Patrick Swayze.
Yeah. And apparently, like, they tell you what it means, because, like, they're like, oh no, Damien is the Antichrist. Like, oopsie poopsie.
Oopsie poopsie.
I don't know what to tell you.
Oopsie
and
doopsie.
And a priest close to the family, Father Brennan, is like, yeah, he's the son of Satan. So that bold move you took in the hospital there, like, did not, that wasn't a good move.
So
like,
are we to believe that woman fucked the devil?
Well, that's, thank you, because that's the thing. That would make the most sense that, you know what? I'm not going to give spoilers right now. I'm not going to give spoilers right now, but watch the movie. You'll get the answer.
Me?
And it's wild.
You want to watch it together?
Yeah, I think we should watch it because who boy.
Oh, no.
Is all I'm going to say. But yeah, so, you know, he's the Antichrist, son of Satan.
Okay.
Oopsie poopsie.
Yeah, you got the wrong kid.
But then Catherine,
the mom,
becomes pregnant.
Again?
Yeah. And the priest ups the bad shit level when this happens and says, oh, yeah, since Damien is the son of Satan, he's going to be hell-bent, pun intended, on murdering that unborn fetus and both of you. So you got to kill him. But I'll, like, 100% look the other way. Like, this priest is like, don't fucking worry.
I'd be like, can you kill him for me?
And Father Brennan's like, no, I cannot. But I will absolutely not report you to authorities.
Oh, my God.
So shit goes down. Again, I won't spoil it in case you haven't seen it. It was from 1976, so you have had the time
plenty
to see it.
Plenty of time.
I would be very justified in spoiling, but I love you all so much that I won't do it to you, okay?
Yeah.
Watch it. It's nuts. So many more twisties, but we're not here just to talk about the movie plot. We're here to talk about curses on the set. So let's go. So obviously, it involves a lot of really dark shit, this movie plot, all of that. You know, very, like, historically dark shit.
Yeah.
Satan. Demons.
Murder.
Antichrist. Dark religious topics and all the like. So right away, everyone making this film was, like, a little weary that they may be messing with some forces that, like, could potentially be dangerous.
So that's the thing. Like,
yeah.
I would feel that way a bit.
I wouldn't.
No, I know you wouldn't,
yeah.
But yeah.
I wouldn't feel that way. I know you wouldn't.
No, I know you wouldn't.
But I know you would.
Yeah, but it's weird because I don't believe wholeheartedly in any of that.
Yeah.
But, like, a little piece of me would be like, I'm not. My whole goal in life is to not fuck around to find out.
You know, I think that's a very smart way of going about life,
I'd like
to be quite honest.
Find out certain things, but I'm not going to fuck around to find them out.
Honestly, I'm smart.
Thanks.
Very smart. I'm fully on board with that way of thinking.
Too many inexplicable things can happen in the world, and I'm not trying to figure it out like that.
I mean, there's a lot going on.
There is.
But, and a lot did go on.
Really?
During this. So, an advertising exec and an evangelical Christian named Robert Munger was the one who helped birth the idea of this child Antichrist. He had said to producer Harvey Bernhard that he believed the Antichrist was walking around in the form of a child because that would be the thing no one would expect.
He really believed that to be true.
He believed that to be true. I beg to differ this, as do all parents, I'm sure, because, like, no one's going to expect a child to be the Antichrist.
I think everyone's going to expect that.
Who are you?
Yeah.
Who are you? Yeah. So I get it, but whatever. So this idea, you know, this idea is obviously pretty fucking terrifying, like, at its core. And it's also pretty brilliant as, like, in a horror sense.
Pretty
like,
metal.
To have a child walking around as the Antichrist. So they started working with it. They're like, what an idea. Some religious ideas in the film were created and not taken directly from the Bible, like the idea that the Antichrist is the son of Satan himself. I don't know what he actually is, But that wasn't, I guess that's not what the Bible says.
Okay.
David Seltzer created that idea for the movie, but it really does work really well. That's the son of Satan. That's way scarier to people. You hear the son of Satan, it's like you're... That works. Like, you know what you're coming with here. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they made up a lot of that stuff. But people think that it's these kind of changes that angered something dark. Ooh. Like, the real Antichrist was like, that's not my authorized bio. Like, why are you doing that?
Maybe. Spreading
heinous lies. But then here's my thinking. I'm like, well, why would the Antichrist give a shit, first of all, that you're not going by the Bible?
Like, yeah, I don't think that would bother him.
So I'm just like, what are the dark forces that are mad that you're not going by the Bible? Like, that gets a little hairy. Nope. That gets a little hairy scary.
No comment.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know. I feel like another side would be angrier that you're not going by the Bible. But again, I don't know. I don't know if there's pieces of the Bible that would turn that on its head, you know?
I don't know much about the Bible.
No?
Nor.
But... Before he even got the film started or greenlit, he pitched it by telling producer Harvey Bernhard that he believed the devil didn't want them to make the film, which seems like a pretty bold pitch to me.
Wait. The guy who, like, made this whole idea up said the devil doesn't want to do this?
Yeah, like, he was like, I'm pretty sure the devil doesn't want us to make this film.
The devil doesn't want screen time?
Which I don't, and I'm not saying it's a bad pitch, because I don't believe that's a bad pitch. I think it's a bold pitch. That's one of those, like, risky, I gotta hit the right person with this pitch, because you're being like, hey, I'm pretty sure the devil himself does not want us to make this film. It's like, you're gonna get some person that's like, oh, fuck off. Then we shouldn't. And you're gonna get somebody else who's gonna go, and they're gonna be like, let's make this film, and you're all gonna do like devil horns together and rock out.
So I think I would be the former and you would be the latter.
I would just pull out an electric guitar and just shred.
Literally, like hovering above the land.
But yeah, he got someone to be that did the dare and an air.
One more time for the people in the back.
They do that on last podcast on the left, like whatever. Oh, yeah, whenever they'll say something like super metal, they're always like,
shout out.
Shout out to Last Podcast on the Left. One of the first podcasts I ever listened to.
Yeah. Remember when we went to their live show?
Yeah, that was great.
That was fun. I got vertigo.
You guys are funny.
But it was great.
But later in interviews, they both repeat this idea. Like, they tell this story, and that this was a true story, that he pitched it that way, that they were like, yes. And Munger is quoted as saying, I said, if you make this movie, you're going to have some problems. If the devil's greatest single weapon is to be invisible, and you're going to do something which is going to take away his invisibility to millions of people, he's not going to want that to happen.
So the devil is invisible.
I guess.
Okay, that's what I took away from
that. So Bernhard recalled the devil was at work and he didn't want that film made. So here's where I sit. Again, I'm going to keep telling you where I sit from here.
Please do.
Imagine the devil, like, if that is an actual thing, which, like, I don't know. But imagine him, what the iconic that we think he is, like, that whatever we see him as.
With, like, the horse demon feet
and all that. Imagine him being so mad about a Hollywood horror movie.
See, so here's where I'm at. I picture the devil like the one in Sabrina, but, like, the... New Sabrina. Did you get to that season where, like,
sure did.
He's like,
yep, Mikey like is with me right now because Mikey just fanned himself.
That man made me question so many things about my identity. Anyways,
yeah,
I pictured that devil. Ooh. And I forgot where I was going because I started thinking about him too much.
I'm sorry, are we just picturing that devil right now? Well, is that all we're doing?
Here's where I was going with that. I picture that handsome man.
That handsome devil.
And I would think that devil would want the PR.
Thank you. That's kind of what, I don't see him being pissed.
No.
Like, that's just me.
Because people are also going to be fucking terrified. And isn't that the devil's whole thing is, like, terrifying people?
That's the thing. I'm like, I feel like that's kind of like his shtick. And oh my God, I'm looking at the devil now.
Now also all I'm looking at
the Sabrina the Teenage Witch one. I had to refresh Mama Marie.
I'm looking at the devil.
Just looking at the devil right now. Yeah, if it's that one, he would definitely be down for it. But I don't.
Down for what?
I don't. Down for what you say. No, I don't know. But then when I think about it, I'm like, that's my interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a vast number of, and Mikey's bringing up pictures of the devil, of that devil, the one from Sabrina, and I'm just,
it's getting so much hotter to look in this elsewhere.
It's because I can't. But there's, they call him Daddy Satan. but yeah, you know, watch that show, by the way. That's a great show.
Also, now all
R.I.P.
I can
to that show.
I know, what the fuck? All I can hear in my head right now is that Jack Black song where it's like,
oh my god, the Tenacious D song.
Yes. Does that stand for devil? Tenacious devil?
I have no idea. But either way, I was going to say,
sorry,
there's several different ways to interpret the devil, whether he exists, how he exists, who he is, what his beliefs are, what his motivation is, what his personality is. This is just mine. You probably do have a different interpretation because we're all different here.
And that's okay.
And maybe your devil that you're thinking of, I mean, and it doesn't have to be your devil, just the devil you think about.
doesn't want the PR.
Maybe he doesn't want the PR. Maybe he does want to be invisible. So I think my idea of is that he wouldn't give a shit about a Hollywood horror film. I feel like that's small potatoes to a demon.
To the devil TM.
But maybe your demon does. So I'm not here to stomp on your idea here. But that's just how I feel.
We digress.
So filming is about to begin in London. And the cast is heading onto set. And shit already is going really awry. And this is the part where when you enter into this, you're like, okay, yeah, curse like the devil. What are you talking about? Shut up. But then when you hear the shit that happened, you're like, what was going on there? Because it's a lot.
So I've heard like some of the things that I know are definitely not man-made accidents. Do you think any of these accidents were man-made to like add to the hype?
Honestly, I...
No?
I don't know if I can come up with one that is man-made. There, a lot of these are too big and too out of everyone's hands.
Okay.
For them to happen, and you'll see why. So Gregory Peck was on his way into London to begin filming, and the plane he was on was struck by lightning.
So that's not man-made.
No. And now I looked into it, and according to Scientific American, each airplane in the U.S. commercial air fleet is struck by lightning at least once a year.
Remember when it happened to Miley Cyrus?
It did. Now, usually these strikes are light and not really noticed that much. Don't do a bunch of damage. They used to, but they definitely don't anymore. It happens once a year to each plane on average, but December 8th, 1963, a commercial airliner crashed as a direct result of being struck by lightning.
Oh, that's terrifying.
That was in 63, remember, before they put in a bunch of different shit, which I will talk about, that has made that so it won't happen again usually. But it was Pan American World Airways Flight 214, and it was a Boeing 707. The flight was going from San Juan, Puerto Rico to Baltimore, Maryland, and then it was taking off from Maryland and going to Philadelphia. So the plane took off from Puerto Rico, got to Baltimore. Then as it was going from Baltimore to Philadelphia, the plane exploded and went down with 73 passengers and 8 crew members on board.
Oh my God.
And the last words they heard over the black box was, "Mayday, mayday, mayday, Clipper 214 out of control. Here we go."
Ooh.
Isn't that like the most chilling?
Here we go. Why the fuck would you say that?
Now, everyone on board perished. This was directly due to lightning strikes, and it ignited the fuel tank, and that's why it exploded. After this, though, so don't worry, after this, planes were ordered to install lightning discharge wicks or static dischargers on all planes in the U.S. This basically, what these are they're on the wings, and they allow the excess electrons of built-up static energy to have a pathway back into the atmosphere so they don't build up and, say, ignite a plane's fuel tank. Like, they get shot out into the atmosphere.
Oh
so it's like a way to, like, ground it and send it somewhere else kind of thing. And they work.
Okay.
Like, they've tested them out. They work.
That's how
it works.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. So just wanted to, like, detour on that because, whoa.
Scary.
So shortly after this, within days, writer David Seltzer's plane also was hit by lightning. He said, "It was the roughest 5 minutes I've ever had on an airliner." I am self-flagellating my fear of flying, but this
is... You usually are.
This is all in the name of content for you, because I love you.
Wow. So if you've ever doubted
doing it.
Are you the kind of person who loves a touch-up on the go, or maybe you're a full glam while in the carpool kind of human? Maybe there's no time for a full face in the morning between kids, pets, work, all of that. Maybe you woke up late. Well, Maybelline's new Instant Age Rewind Eraser Foundation is perfect for those moments when life moves fast. I absolutely love this foundation because it doesn't settle into any fine lines or wrinkles, and you can just toss this thing in your purse. You say, oh my gosh, I have a little smudge right here. Let me fix it really quick. It's perfect. And it's now in 16 shades. It offers SPF 20, which, like, that's amazing. It's got moisturizing pro vitamin B5. And I love the applicator. It's a blurring sponge. So you can just tap, tap, tap it to reset your foundation and you are good. Shop Maybelline's new Instant Age Rewind Eraser Foundation at amazon.com/instant-eraser-foundation.
Right after this, producer Mace Newfield, I think it is, Newfield,
what a cool
was
name, Mace.
Also in the plane headed to production, and his plane was struck by lightning.
What?
Come on.
That's insane.
Three planes were struck by lightning?
And you said it only happens to it one
happens
plane
once,
per year?
It happens once on average a year.
No.
So Harvey Bernhard was almost struck by lightning while standing on the ground while filming on location in Rome once production began.
Too much lightning.
Yeah. And it was literally right next to him.
See, that's why.
These are a little weird.
Like, how do you not think, like, something had to have been at work here?
Something, yeah.
Right? Like, don't you believe that?
That's like smiting.
But like.
Like, I smite you with these.
Like, you
bolts.
Believe that something was at work, right?
Something weird is happening here. I don't know what. I can't put my little finger on it. But,
I know.
But, you know. Something is wrong here.
I believe a lot in energy.
There you go. So it's bad energy. Maybe that's what it is.
You're talking about like a whole ass kid being born.
That's a whole ass kid.
Like, gonna kill the mom, gonna kill the. I'm gonna kill my mom.
I'm gonna kill my dad. That's him.
My God.
That's literally him. That's Damien.
Sit down and have a juice box, bud.
Yeah. And you know, it did have some bad energy going into production because they were immediately setting this up as like the devil doesn't want this. So they were setting the bad energy from the start.
Yeah, not manifesting properly.
Now, Harvey Bernhard was so stressed that he began wearing a crucifix on set.
I might also do the same.
I would not. But he said,
Helena's quote, like upside down, maybe.
But he said, quote, I wasn't about to take any chances, which I get. The devil was at work and he didn't want that film made. We were dealing in areas we didn't know about. And later on in the picture, it got worse, worse, and worse.
Oh my God.
So like, I get it. You know, like, you're not going to take any chances. You might as well throw a crucifix around your neck.
It's crazy that this movie like happened. Was completed.
I know. There was a private plane that was rented for production because they were using it for like overhead scenes.
Sure.
And during production, like during filming, somebody else rented this plane. Like they chartered it while they weren't using it. Upon takeoff, the engine was hit by a flock of birds, caused the engines to fail, and the plane crashed onto the end of the runway, skidded into the road, and hit a car.
Oh my God.
Everyone on board and in the car was killed. Yeah. This is true. This much is true. But in some sources, and I don't know if this is true. I can't verify this. It's just in some sources.
Sure.
They say the car was carrying the pilot's wife and two children.
I think that's
way too over the top. Yeah. They do cite it in some sources, but I found nothing to verify this.
Okay, yeah. Sometimes.
But you will read that in some sources. That's why I want to let you know, like, I couldn't find something to verify it. If you can, then that's even worse. But
and if you can't, I'm like, you know, like, it's already bad enough that everybody on board died and everyone in the car died.
Thank
you don't
you.
Need to make it worse.
Thank you. Because I'm literally like, you don't need to make that
like I already
scarier and more traumatizing. Like, people died.
Yeah, like I'm already upset.
Yeah, I'm upset. So that happened.
Holy shit.
Apparently, I think it was Peck who was supposed to be renting one of the planes too. And it might have been that actual plane, and he ended up not renting it that day or using it that day to do something, and it crashed.
Wow.
And he was supposed to be on it. There was also an animal trainer who was on set because there's a scene with Rottweilers where Peck's character is chased and attacked in a cemetery by really angry, vicious dogs. Oh. Hellhounds, if you will. But the dogs, the Rottweilers, attacked the stuntman for real, and they wouldn't stop.
Oh my God.
And they bit through the paddings and ignored the handlers and the animal trainer. And the, I guess the stuntman ended up being okay, but he suffered actual injuries from it.
Wow.
And it was very unlike these dogs to not listen to the handlers and the trainer.
Yeah. Were they okay?
They were okay.
Okay, good.
So Richard Donner was leaving Harvey Bernhard's office. Something else happens to the animal trainer, by the way. We'll get to it. But he was leaving Bernhard's office after a meeting, and he was hit by a car.
Oh, my God.
He was okay, but, like, what the fuck? He was hit by a car.
Do you know how long this production was? Like, how long it took?
No, I don't know exactly how long it took, but it happened quick.
I'm going to try to find out, because I'm like, all of these things are happening? Like, was this a couple months?
Exactly. An executive producer, Mace, there was staying at the London Hilton with his wife while filming, and it was bombed by the IRA.
What?
And on November 12th, they were all there, executive producers, directors, actors, all of them were having some kind of dinner at some restaurant. And that restaurant was bombed by the IRA minutes before they arrived.
Oh, my God. This is over an 11-week period.
I was going to say, it was quick.
11 weeks.
All crammed into this period.
Oh, my God.
And now there's a scene, speaking of the animal trainer, there's a scene in the movie where they go to a zoo. And Damien's presence, just his presence there, makes all the animals, like, go crazy. They're all screaming. They're flipping out.
That stresses me out.
It's a really haunting and very scary scene.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Like it.
And they come across a group of baboons. And the baboons freak the fuck out when they see Damien.
Uh-huh.
And he's just smiling at them. It's so scary.
Ooh.
And so the baboons attack the car they're in, that they're driving through.
Yeah.
And according to Richard Donner, Lee Remick, who played the mom, was legitimately terrified while filming this sequence. So her screams and the fear you see are very real. And they're what's in the final shot of the film. So they used that animal trainer for these shots as well, and everything was fine. But the next day, that animal trainer was killed by tigers.
What the fuck?
Bernhard later said he was killed the day after we shot there. He was killed by a tiger. He grabbed him by the head and killed him instantly.
Oh my God.
Like, what the fuck?
And too many freak accidents.
And what's even worse is it didn't end after filming. So special effects supervisor John Richardson was responsible for a really infamous scene. It's a decapitation scene in the movie. This man is, like, really brutally beheaded by a sheet of glass sliding off the back of a truck. It's very Final Destination-esque.
Yeah.
It's really brutal. Well, John Richardson was in Holland with his girlfriend Liz Moore on August 13th, 1976. They were filming Richard Attenborough's A Bridge Too Far, and their car crashed. He survived, very injured, but she was decapitated.
Stop.
Now, really quickly, just because, like, I looked into Liz, the girlfriend, the victim here, she was a really talented and really respected painter and sculptor. She designed and sculpted Star Child in Stanley Kubrick's 2001 Space Odyssey.
Oh, wow.
The nude furniture in A Clockwork Orange. The C-3PO suit in Star Wars.
Oh, my God.
And worked with another artist named Brian Muir, I think it is, sorry, to create the finalized version of the Stormtrooper helmets.
Holy shit.
She was only 32 years old when she was killed.
Wow. Imagine she did what all she could have gone on to do.
And killed by decapitation.
That's terrifying.
Now, allegedly, according to reports, he said he escaped from the vehicle and he saw a signpost, they were in Holland, pointing to the nearest town. And it was the town's name was Omen, and it was O-M-M-E-N.
Stop.
And according to him, the kilometer marker where this was 66.6.
I don't know what to say to that.
Another crew member, a stunt person named Alf Joint, also went from working on stunts and working on, like, the Omen. He went to the Richard Attenborough's A Bridge Too Far, too. So they both went over to that. He had an accident almost immediately as well. He was supposed to be filmed jumping off a roof, and he would land on some kind of, like, airbag, obviously. Right. He fell from the roof really strangely, according to all witnesses, and somehow missed the airbag. He ended up critical in the hospital.
Oh my
Luckily,
God.
He did recover, but when he woke up, he said everyone said he was absolutely adamant. He said, I was pushed off that roof.
Ooh, I just got all the motherfucking chills.
And the way he fell, everyone was like, that was not a stuntman fall. Like, that wasn't a stuntman fall. He was awkward. It was like he wasn't ready for it.
But he was like...
Like someone had pushed him and he wasn't ready to do an actual fall. Oh, like a safe fall.
Oh, no.
They said it was like super awkward and strange how he fell. And he was like, I was 100% pushed. I felt it. And he's and like, he was that's up there why alone? I looked that way. Yeah.
Fuck that.
No one.
Fuck that.
And to end it all out, the kid who played Damon, Harvey Stevens, he disappeared for years after.
He's a terrifying looking child.
And the crew of the documentary about this curse had to hire a private detective to search him down because they thought he was dead or missing.
What?
Then when they talk to him, he won't speak about the curse. Literally will not say a word. You can't get him to open up about it.
What?
Yeah. Which I'm like, is that like, what is that? Is that, could that be that you are like playing into it? Because like, good on you. I would play the fuck into that if I could, but like, damn.
I would not play into that.
Like,
ever.
That's why it's so like,
no.
Because look, we're talking about it.
Well, yeah, but.
Have people being like, what is going on?
Oh, fuck, dude.
That's why I say a lot of those are not like man-made things. They're like none bombings of the IRA. They're like planes crashing. They're lightning hitting planes. There's people getting in like weird, strange accidents.
Like, yeah, sure, there are coincidences, but not that many.
And that's the thing. A lot of the people involved in this production were like, yeah, in the beginning, when you like hear about it, you're like,
sure.
Yeah, okay. Like I can kind of explain away some things, but they were like, as it goes, nah. You just stop being able to explain. Like, how can you have that much bad luck?
I'm not well, bitch.
I am not well, bitch. But I think it's an interesting... I love a cursed movie set.
Actually, Shudder, for a while, had, like, a whole series of cursed movies. Yeah.
There's a lot of them. There's, like, Rosemary's Baby. There's Poltergeist. There's...
The Exorcist.
The Exorcist. And again, a lot of them are, like, religion or, like, you know, yeah. Satan-based kind of thing. But I think it's one of those things. I don't know. Maybe, religion is one of the oldest things in the world, you know? Yeah. Like, so it's like, maybe you're just messing with
energy.
Maybe it doesn't even necessarily have to do with, like, you know, the devil and stuff like that. It's like this, you're messing with something ancient that you don't understand.
An ancient force.
That none of us understand.
Maybe.
You know? Like, maybe it's something to do with that. I don't know. Who am I?
I feel like I'm going to be very creeped out the next couple of days. Whenever we talk about... Yeah, I know, me too. Because I love that feeling, but like I also hate it at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, the end of my hallway is going to freak me out. Lately, I've been freaked out by the end of my hallway.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You might want to like clear that.
Yeah.
Clear that out.
Yeah, it's my spare bedroom too. So.
Oh, yeah. Clear that out.
Yeah, definitely.
You don't want that being funky.
I think it's just because, honestly, there's a lot of laundry in there. Then that's bad energy.
You're like, I just don't want to fold it. So that's the bad energy. No, that's why I'm freaked out.
It's dirty laundry. It's like a couple of hampers full of laundry that I need to get done. So maybe that's it.
That would freak me out too.
I fucking hate laundry.
Yeah. That's like, that's wild.
It's bad vibes.
That's bad vibes.
It's
bad stinky vibes.
Oh man. Creepy, but creepy.
We love a haunted movie, which, you know, these are, there's a lot of actual death involved here, so it's
true crime.
It's got
as well.
The true crimey element.
We should make this a series, and like, if you guys know of any cursed movies that you want us to look into,
like cursed movies, cursed TV shows, cursed Broadway shows,
cursed productions.
There you go, because that might be kind of fun to look into.
Totally, I love a good curse.
Every once in a while, we need a little.
I don't want to be cursed.
No, but I also don't.
I like to look into a curse.
But they are very interesting.
Let me speak clearly with intent. Yeah.
Give the universe the right words.
Yeah.
But right. And go listen to Ghost's new, you know, cover single. Because it's great.
I heard it.
You're going to hear it a lot.
So what?
So never. There you go. I hope everybody had a good weekend and watched The Omen.
And we hope you keep listening.
And we hope you
keep
it.
Weird, but not so weird that you're the Antichrist, or maybe do keep it that weird, just up to your preference.
Yeah, whatever you want to do, man.
Keep it that weird.
Keep it your kind of weird.
Heyo.
Don't hurt people.
If you like Morbid, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Hey, Morbid, this is Weirdos.
Since Elena betrayed me and didn't go through with our brilliant plan for opening episode 544, The Career Girl Murders Part 1, we thought that we'd get it right with this go-round, as we tell you about one of our favorite deep dives that you might have missed within our feed.
In August 1963, Patricia Tolles returned home from work to find her apartment demolished. Shaken, she contacted one of her roommate's fathers, who stumbled across a truly grisly murder scene.
The media created a narrative that would, to their benefit, sell newspapers.
Every headline set out to make single women feel afraid and deter them from pursuing personal independence, instead of focusing on how people are depraved and that we should stop assholes from being assholes. You can find this episode by following Morbid and scrolling back a little bit to episode 544, The Career Girl Murders Part 1, or by searching Morbid Career Girls wherever you listen to podcasts.